Tonight, could we turn to Mark chapter 10, please? Mark chapter 10. We're going to look at a story that most of us have heard in Sunday school. We've heard at our mom and dad's knees. We've heard in children's meetings. We're going to look at that man called blind Bartimaeus. We're starting to read at the verse 46 of Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and the verse 46. And they, that is the Lord Jesus and his disciples, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thy son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And we know the Lord will bless this reading from his own infallible word. With God's word open, could we ask him to bless the reading of his word? Father, we thank thee for these hymns of Zion that we have been singing. Now, Lord, as we come to look at your word tonight, hide man behind the cross. May none be seen but Jesus only. And Father, we would pray if there be one in our meeting who knows you're not a Savior, or that is tuned in through the internet, Lord, that they might come and find thee who to know is life eternal. Undertake, we pray, and we'll give thee all the praise and all the honor and every bit of the glory, for thy alone art worthy. Amen. Such was the news of the day. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. It was often repeated when our Lord made his journeys through the land of Palestine and the outskirts. Jesus of Nazareth passes by. What curiosity there was to see him. What eagerness was to hear him. And what anxiety to get their others and their friends to be healed by him. His fame was noised abroad everywhere. They would leave their farms to come to hear him. They would leave their workplace to come to hear him. They would leave their pleasure to come to hear him, to be in the multitudes who were to hear him preach. You know, friends, many accepted the Lord as their Savior as they listened to him. But you know, many rejected him. And you know, across our land tonight, as the gospel is preached of the Lord Jesus Christ, many will come and trust the Lord as their Savior, but many will reject him. I wonder, you in this meeting tonight, dear friend, and week after week you've sat listening to God's servant preaching for this pulpit, and another Lord's Day evening you're about to go out rejecting the Savior. Oh, friends, as we look at this man, blind Bartimaeus, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to you and that you'll realize you need to be born again. The Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We read in Mark 46 that this man, Bartimaeus, was a blind man. First of all, I want you to see that he was in darkness. He was in darkness. He was a blind man. And some of the commentators say that he was blind from birth. They mention his father here. They also think that the father was a blind man. So here we have a son, a blind man from birth. You know, Jericho was a beautiful place. We read in Deuteronomy 34 and 2, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees. This man couldn't see the beauty of Jericho. He was in complete darkness. As a little boy, he couldn't go out and play with his friends. As a little boy, he couldn't see his mum or dad's face. He couldn't see the beautiful sun that would shine. He couldn't see the moon that would come out at night, because he was in darkness, because he was blind. He had to be later in life. He couldn't work. And the Bible tells us that he sat beside the highway begging. And later on in the scriptures, we hear about his rags. And I'm sure if you had approached this man, he would be in rags. I'm sure even there would be a smell of him. He would be someone that nobody would want to have anything to do with. What an awful state he was in physically. But you know, friends, tonight, he was in a worse state than that. You say to me, how could he be in a worse state? You tell us that he's blind. Yes, that's right. You tell us he was blind from birth. He couldn't see the beauty of Jericho. He couldn't see his parents' face. He couldn't play with the boys and girls. Later on, he had to go and beg by the at the wayside. He couldn't work to get money or food. How could he be in a worse state than that? Yes, friends, physically, he was in a worse state. But you know, spiritually, he was also blind. He was also blind. All he wanted was for the Savior to give him back his eyes physically. But you know, he was blind spiritually. And you know, the sad thing tonight, there are so many people across our land, and they're not blind physically, but they're blind spiritually. They're blind to their soul's salvation. They're blind. The devil has their eyes blind. The Bible tells us that the devil is the one that has their eyes blind. We read in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them." You know, this man, all he wanted was to have his eyesight physically. But friends, he was blind spiritually. I wonder, you sitting in this meeting tonight, or someone who's listening, and you're saying to me, "Tommy, I'm not blind. I don't wear glasses like you. I don't have to wear glasses. I can see well." But friends, maybe you're sitting there and you're blind spiritually. The devil has you blinded spiritually. You think you're all right. You think that you're ready for heaven. I remember as a young man coming 15 years of age, I remember approaching my Sunday school teacher. And I said, "Mr. Stewart, I'm starting work. I'll not be back to Sunday school." And he said to me, "Tommy, all the other boys in the Sunday school class has trusted the Savior. And if you go away with rejecting the Savior, you'll be lost." You know, friend, I was mad. I said, Mr. Stewart, I'm as good as anybody. I went to Sunday school. I went to the children's meetings. I went to the boys' brigade Bible class. I have gone to all these places. I'm just as good as any of you. And that old man of God, I can see him turning God's word. And he showed me from God's word that all my righteousness were like filthy rags in the sight of a just God. And he said to me, "Tommy, I've just one verse for you. My spirit shall not always strive with man." Oh, friend, this man, Bartimaeus, he was in darkness. He was blind physically, but he was also blind spiritually. Are you in darkness tonight? You know, the Bible tells us, the Lord Jesus, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You know, people do not like the light. People would rather walk in darkness. But the Lord Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Oh, friend, tonight that darkness can be lifted off you spiritually. But I want you to notice, secondly, he was in danger. This man was in danger. Jesus was passing by. He heard the cry from the people, "Jesus is coming." And you know, I'm sure this man heard how the Lord had healed so many people, how the Lord had raised the dead, how the Lord had helped so many people. And he was in danger of missing his opportunity. He was blind. He could not see the danger of missing the Savior. His chance of being healed could be gone forever if he did not meet the Lord Jesus. You know, my friend, tonight in this meeting, the Lord Jesus Christ is passing this way. And you may be in danger of missing your opportunity of trusting the Lord as your Savior. Your soul, if you miss out at him. You know, the Bible says in Job 36 and 18, "Because there is wrath, beware lest we take thee away with a stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee." This wee man was in danger. He was in danger of missing the Savior. You know, in the days of the sailing ships, there was two men up in the riggings, and they were taking the sail up just as darkness was coming. One was a Christian, and the other one was an atheist. And the Christian would witness to the atheist many times. All of a sudden, the boat took a wave, and the atheist lost his balance and fell into the water. The man, his friend, shouted, "Man, overboard." And you can imagine those sailing ships, it took a long time to get them stopped. The captain said, "Right, we'll launch the long boat." And they just went out with a little lantern to look for the man overboard. The captain said to the first mate, "I'm sure you'll not find him, but we'll need to try." They rowed around. They called out the man's name. And then all of a sudden they heard a voice. And it was the man who had fallen into the water. They brought him up and got him into his hammock. But this time the Christian had come down from the rigging. And he went into his friend and he said to his friend, "I'm delighted to see you." He said, "What happened to you?" He said, "I lost my balance." And he said, "What happened when you went in the water?" He said, "I shot a prayer to heaven." And the Christian said, "You what?" He said, "I shot a prayer to heaven." He says, "But you're an atheist. You told me you don't believe in God." He says, "Ah, when you see a ship sailing away, and your life is in danger, you know there is a God." And he said, "I shot a prayer to heaven. And I said, if there is a God in heaven, save me. I'll work for thee." And that man became one of the greatest workers in the seamen's men's missions, doing work for the Lord. He was in danger, but he realized he was in danger. And he cried to the Lord. Praise God, this wee man here realized he was in danger. He realized that he was in danger, and he knew that he needed to come to the Savior. You know, I lifted a little book the other day, and it told the story of a little town in Pennsylvania. And they had a massive dam in that town of Pennsylvania. And if I were the walls of the dam and the pulpit, and you folks were the city, every year they sent an engineer up to check the walls. And the engineer would come down and they would have a meeting in the hall. There were about 500 people lived in the city. And he would say, "Yes, you're safe." One year, it was a young engineer went up. And he saw the cracks in the wall. And he came down and he said, "My advice to you is to move for safety up to the high ground, because we are expecting a heavy rainfall." Of course, some of the people said, "Yes, I'll do that." But of course, others said, "I'm taking my chance. I'm not leaving my house. I'm sitting where I am." But you know, overnight, there was a terrible downfall of rain. The rivers started to run into that great dam. And all of a sudden, there was a crack down the wall of the dam. And something like 300 people lost their lives because they wouldn't take the warning. Oh, friend, tonight, you are in danger. These folks were in danger and they didn't take the warning. If they had listened to the little man who told them to flee up to the higher ground, they would have been safe. And friends, if you don't take the warning tonight from the Holy Spirit of God as he speaks to you that you need to trust Christ as your Savior, you're in danger of losing your soul into a Christless eternity. He was in darkness. He was in danger. But you know, he had a decision to make. He had a decision to make. When he realized the Savior was near, the only thing he could do was cry out, to the Lord. His cry was a prayer, and his prayer was a cry. It was a short prayer. He hadn't got a prayer book to read from. He was blind. Even if he had a prayer book, he couldn't have read it. He cried out to the Lord for mercy. But I want you to notice something. When he cried out for mercy, he was discouraged. Others that were standing around said, "Keep quiet. The Lord Jesus doesn't want anything to do with an old smelly beggar like you. Just keep your mouth quiet. Just you sit there and shut up. Don't be bothering the Savior." He had a decision to make. And friends, tonight, you have a decision to make. This man had a decision. Do I listen to the crowd? Do I listen to the crowd who's telling me to keep quiet? Or do I cry to the Savior for salvation? You have the same decision to make tonight. Do I listen to someone who's putting me off from being saved? Is there someone that's keeping you from being saved? Is there someone that you're afraid of coming to the Savior? I remember as an apprentice electrician, I knew I needed to be saved. But I was worried about my friends. I was worried about them laughing at me. I was worried about them. Is someone keeping you from the Savior? He had a decision to make, whether to listen to the crowd or to trust the Savior. You know, praise Lord, he took the right decision. The Bible tells us he cried even the more loudest, "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy upon me." He made the right decision. There's a man called John Moore, and he would visit the sailors in Glasgow docks. And he visited this boat one day, and the captain said, "We have a young man in the Glasgow hospital. Would you go and visit him?" John Moore said, "Yeah, I'll certainly go and visit him." He went and visited the young man, and he spoke the gospel to the young man. And the young man said, "I have to make a decision. Is that right?" John Moore says, "Yes, you have to make a decision." But he says, "Sir, I've so many burdens. I've so many burdens. I can't get rid of all these burdens. I can't get rid of these habits and the burdens that I'm carrying." John Moore told him about Bunyan. He told the story how the burden rolled away. And then he told about his own habits that he had, and how that he came to the cross and the Lord saved him and the burdens all rolled away. The young man looked at him and he said, "Sir, I want to lose my burdens. How are you going to do it?" And John Moore had the joy of pointing that young man to the Savior. He made the right decision. You know, John Moore said to him, "Son, where's your burdens now?" And with a smile on his face, he said, "Mr. Moore, my burdens are gone. I'm saved." John Moore went home that night, and he sat down by his table, and he thought about burdens. And he wrote that beautiful hymn that I love singing, "Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near." Oh, friends, tonight, maybe you have a burden. Maybe you have a habit that you think you can't break. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious shed blood, can break all the sin. Come, wash in the precious blood and be saved. He had a decision to make, and he made the right decision. He called on the Saviour. Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy on me. I want you to see, he got deliverance. He got deliverance. Notice verse 52. It wasn't a church that he called to for help. It wasn't some religious organization that he called for help. He cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy. And he was in a miserable state. And praise God, misery is the object of mercy. His own miserable case he brings to the Son of God. Note what the Savior done. When the wee man called for mercy, when the sinner calls for mercy, now the Lord was hurrying off to Jerusalem. He was hurrying to go for the palm day when he would ride the donkey, the colt, and he was hurrying along. But you know, when the sinner cried out, Lord, have mercy, what does the Bible say? The Bible says in 49, and Jesus stood still. And Jesus stood still. Friends, tonight, if you call for mercy, the Lord Jesus will listen in heaven. And he'll listen to you. You know, his own miserable case he brings to the Savior. But I want you to notice something. The Bible tells us, in verse 50, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Remember, he was wearing the old rags. He was wearing all the old rags of a beggar. And when he was coming to the Savior, he took the old rags off his back and he threw them to the side. You know, friend, that's a perfect picture of a soul being saved. The Lord Jesus Christ takes our rags of sin off us and he puts on the glorious robe of our righteousness. This little man didn't want to come to the Savior carrying his old rags. He cast them to the side. You know, as a young Christian, I used to wonder why the Lord asked this question. He said, what do you want me to do for you? And I used to say, you know, the Lord's bound to know that he was blind, that he wanted his eyesight. But you know, the Lord was testing his faith. The Lord was testing his faith. The Lord said to him, thy faith hath made thee whole. And you know, he said in verse 52, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And in 2 weeks' time, you'll receive your sight. Or in a month time, you'll receive your sight. No, immediately you'll receive your sight. Immediately, this wee man received his sight. And I want you to notice something here, child of God. There's something for you and me here. Remember, we said that this man never saw any face before because he was blind. He never saw his mother and father's face. He never saw any human face before. But you know, when you and I close our eyes in death, who is the first face we'll see? The Lord Jesus Christ. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what shall it be when with rapture I behold him? Jesus Christ, who died for me. But you know, there's something else. This wee man became a disciple. Bartimaeus was poor, but he didn't plead for wealth. There is something Christ can give us that is more precious than silver and gold. That is eyes to see the Lord himself as our own personal Savior and friend. This is what the blind man saw when his eyes were open. He saw the blessed Lord Jesus as his own and personal Savior. Oh, friends, tonight, this wee man made the right decision. He called to the Lord. And there in that pew where you sit tonight, you can call. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right where you sit, you can ask the Lord to save you, and he will save you. Oh, this man not only got his eyesight physically back, but praise God, he got his eyesight physically, and he followed the Lord as his Savior. You know, there's a preacher called Dr. Milan from Geneva, and he was staying in London. He was preaching in a mission, and the daughter of the man he was staying with was sitting in the parlor one day, and he said to her, "Dear, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ?" And she took real exception to this, and she said, "No, I don't," and she walked out in utter madness. But all that week, the Holy Spirit kept speaking to her, "Have you got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ?" On the Friday, she could take it no longer, and she approached the preacher, and she said, "Sir, I have to apologize. I was so angry with you on Monday. Forgive me." And she says, "All week, the Spirit of God has been dealing with me, and I know I need to be saved, but I don't know how to get saved." The preacher said, Dear, just come as you are. Just come as you are. Come as a sinner to Jesus. Confess your sin and ask him to wash you in the precious blood, and he'll wash you in that blood." That girl went up to her bedroom. She knelt down and she prayed, and the Lord saved her. Some weeks later, she sat down at her desk and she wrote that beautiful hymn that the Lord has used mightily in many missions. She wrote, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, but that thy bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." That lady was Charlotte Elliott. We have the hymn in our own hymn book. Oh, friends, tonight, just come as you are. Those listening in the internet, just come as you are. Come as a sinner to Jesus. I thank God for a faithful Sunday school teacher who showed me that I needed the Savior, who prayed for me. And you know, folks, there's people in this church who are praying for you. There are loved ones that are praying for you. They'd love to see you saved. Oh, come tonight. You know, there was a man called Nicodemus, and with this I'll close, the ruler of the Jews, and he came to the Savior at night. He knew all that there was about the Jewish religion. He came to the Savior, and the Savior said to him immediately, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Of course, Nicodemus, like everyone, he tried to twist it, and he said, "How can I be born again? Do I go into my mother's womb the second time?" The Lord Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again." In other words, I'm not talking about the physical birth. I'm talking about the spiritual birth. And notice what the Savior said. "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You know, friends, as I go around our churches preaching, I often think of that great white throne that we read about in Revelation. And who are the people standing at that great white throne judgment? They are men and women who have rejected God's way of salvation. And I often say, "Tommy, am I looking into the face of someone who's going to be standing at that great white throne judgment and hear that word, 'Depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you'? Can you escape the great white throne judgment?" Yes, you can, by having your sins dealt with under the precious blood of Christ. Oh, friends, I pray tonight that you'll come and trust the Savior.